Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
Ah. All right, everybody. Happy Wednesday, as this is a live broadcast. This is my inaugural solo episode. I'm steering the ship. God help you all. And today we have Jeremiah Harding, who I have been a longtime fan of. He's belligerent. He's abrasive. He's angry. And he's everything that I aspire to be. So welcome welcome to the program.
Well, thanks to hear that. And I think this might, it's either my second or third episode. I've been on to talk insane conspiracy bullshit before, but I'm always like glad to talk about more insane conspiracy bullshit. So feel free to fire any questions away, and I'll field whatever I can. Figure this is a rather free form episode, so should be good.
Yeah. One thing I really wanted to get into, and it's been a while since I remember back in the day you used to have what was it, Shit Shooting Wednesdays? Where it would just be a
shooting
hodgepodge.
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to get back into that, like, but it's hard to get people on board. Like, I tried to get this one together with, like, a bunch of veterans to discuss. And that's one of the things, like, I liked Shit Shooting Sundays to have people with, like, some expertise in a field. Because, like, some of those things that I used to do went kind of sideways. Because, like, I invited just people in general, and like there would be a lot of dead air while people who didn't know what they were like talking about fucking had the same level of conversation ability as the rest of the people, but they didn't say anything because they didn't know the subject. So I tried to like make it sort of more coordinated, and it worked out really well for a while, but then like I had to move to one place, then another place, then another place, and basically it just sort of fell off. But I tried to reignite it lately, and I only got two interested parties for one of the casts. So, you know, if anybody listening to this is an anti-war libertarian veteran and wants to come on and discuss how war fucking sucks, feel free to hit me up, because that's the desired subject for the next Shit Shooting Sunday. But like, and I've got a couple people who would be interested as long as I told them in advance, who are almost always interested in talking shit about the government. So, feel free to hit me up. But yeah, like I liked to have, like people who knew the subject, involved. And that's why it's sort of like, tapered off lately. 'Cause, it's hard to get a lot of people on the same page, especially when everybody's scrambling to pay rent or the mortgage or whatever bills they have while this virus is being used as an excuse to tank the local economy and funnel power to the corporate and ruling class.
Yes, the meat space problems have, I mean, grown exponentially since this whole COVID thing. And I for one would definitely be interested in doing that with you in the future. The couple times that I did it before, I kind of kept quiet because there are some very intelligent people saying very intelligent things, and I just had nothing to contribute. But the other thing I wanted to get into was your effort with anarcho-coalitionism.
Okay.
What that is, the state of it, I guess, and what you hope to bring to the movement in the future through that strategy.
So the first thing, and this is something I've said on multiple podcasts, talking about, you know, vlogs, podcasts, whatever, talking about it. You know, when people would have me on, because most the vast majority of people, whether they be statist or libertarian, actively dislike me because I've pissed off one of their pet beliefs.
I love it. Slaughtering sacred cows. That's like, that's what attracted me to you in the first place. You had no problem just, oh, the non-aggression principle. Let me tell you why you're retarded. Like, just stuff that.
Yeah. And to some extent, I mean, because the thing about it is, like, with that specifically, and I guess I'll, like, tangent off to that temporarily, the non-aggression principle is widely misunderstood because people don't, like, they don't look into the etymology of the word aggression, and they think, like, non-aggression is pacifism, and they think, you know, or they think that the non-aggression principle is, like, proportionality because they read too much Rothbard, you know. There is, first off, there is no such thing as proportionality. You cannot 100% guarantee that your force is going to be equal to somebody else's. And since you can't guarantee that, it's a bad standard to hold. So, you know, my particular thing is make it so that they never want to or are capable of doing the thing that they did to you again. And, you know, that's not very popular with the peacenik crowd, but you know, if people had that standard, there would be a lot less aggression in the world, especially if there wasn't a statist monopoly on violence. So, like, I don't necessarily oppose the non-aggression principle. I just think most of the people who talk about it, they don't know that the word comes from agredi, which means, you know, to move against. They don't know that it's like the imposition of your force or like fraud, which is an element of force on a rightly held boundary. They don't consider any of this stuff. They just say, you know, don't hurt people and don't take their stuff because they saw Matt Kibbe's book and they think that's what libertarianism is.
And it's infantile.
Yeah. Right. So like if your shit is so simple that you can fit it on a book cover, it's probably not going to work as a societal mechanism. And that's my whole thing. Like the closest I think anyone has gotten to like a workable full on solution in a book title was Human Action. That's it.
Yeah.
Because Human Action is a condensed form of self-interested people behaving with spontaneous order. I worked out and I've still got protein coming up. fucking spontaneous order to, you know, self-organize without the need or desire for an external mechanism of force. That works. Just human action. It's human action.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you need. That's the closest I've ever seen to a full societal system fitting on a book cover, but it still doesn't work. Because if you don't read the book, you don't fucking get it. So
yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I'm good at pissing people off on Twitter and getting them engaged in conversations. But ultimately, I get them engaged so that I can point them to other material that's longer. And if they're not willing to read books, if they're not willing to watch videos, if they're not willing to engage with broader philosophy, they're kind of cucked and fucked anyway.
Yep, so, and that's the opposite mantra of go fuck yourself industries, is that we assume that they're not willing or able to comprehend any material. So we just say, go fuck yourself. Rounding back, you brought up a good point, the etymology of the word aggression and that, how that kind of connects to anarcho-coalitionism. Cause as you know, the left and right side of anarchism has very different definitions of what aggression is. You know, private property, rent, interest versus, you know, taxation, the draft.
Well, and all, okay, so
et cetera.
One of the things to note, like I write for an outlet called Agorist Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be writing more once they get more donations. So feel free to go support them if you like what I write. But effectively, agorism is like a bridge attempt. What Konkin was attempting to do was unite the libertarian left and sort of get Rothbardians to admit that there was more to property and more to the market than just saying, yeah, capitalism, good. And one of his key complaints was corporations, because corporations are statist entities given more power and freedom by the state, and therefore more privileges by the state than the rest of us are given. It's why they get bailouts. It's why they are overwhelmingly supportive of and supported by the state. It's why the Bilderberg Group is a coalition of a bunch of corporations and government and, you know, nonprofits and all that shit. Because when you want to consolidate power, it's not enough to just do it from the top. You have to do it from the top and also all angles with which the common person interfaces with the society at large.
So no, that's interesting you say that. You've drawn a stark contrast between, you know, the Bilderberg Group and the common person. And one thing I've noticed that right libertarians often overlook is the whole concept of class struggle. And that seems right. like a bridge between the right and the left of anarchy as well, that the right doesn't really understand class struggle as well as the left does, but the left might get it wrong.
Well, sometimes. And that's the thing. Like, part of the reason agorists caught shit is because Rothbard panned them as a bunch of leftists, which, you know, fair. But the left has class theory, and part of agorism was that class theory. There is the working class, you know, the poor people, the proles, and the ruling class, those with money, those with power. And what Konkin realized is that these classes are often ossified by the lack of ability for a common person to make enough money to have an economic impact on their own life, much less society at large.
Yes, especially and within the white market.
Yeah, and certainly, like, they didn't have the ability to do so. Even if they chose to find one of the very few paths available to them, they couldn't do it without supporting the state through taxation, through the inflated dollar that they used to participate in the system, through the corporate favors that are the lifeblood of bullshit, and also the loans that many people get, or the venture capital that basically gives an existing moneyed interest, a steering power over your company or something like that. And he also highlighted one really interesting thing that, like, a lot of ANCAPs get pissed at me for not immediately discarding, which is that wage labor can be exploitative, where the worker who might be very good at producing a good or service does not get the full value of that good or service despite being the producer of it, which means like his solution to that wasn't communism, because he wasn't a communist and because he came from a Rothbardian tradition. His solution to that was to be an entrepreneur in your own right and to try and extract as much value personally from your labor as you could, rather than having the value, part of the value, go to a head organization, go to a licensure board, go to the government. You say you want it, you get the money, you know? And that makes really, like, hella sense to me. And it also makes, like, the person who does it a more efficient capitalist than most ANCAPs are, because they think, hey, as long as I start a business, it's fine. Well, is it, though? Are you really getting paid what you're worth? Because if you're not, then you're effectively being under somebody anyway. And why do you need them? Do you? And most people aren't willing to answer that.
Yeah, and Konkin perfectly described it as anti-capitalist. You are operating within capitalism against the existing capitalist class.
Mm-hmm.
You're because effectively undermining and subverting the white market with the black market. And right. Do you find that anarcho-communists and mutualists and those on anarchy on the left generally agree with that, or are they too kind of set in their ways.
Okay, well, first off, I'm a cynical fuck, so ultimately, I'm going to say most people don't agree with most other people on anything, but I can say that the left is more open to agorism than anarcho-capitalism, but they'd certainly much rather practice something like market anarchy, individualism, or mutualism, generally. I mean, but that's the thing. Konkin was willing to work with all of them. My whole anarcho-coalitionism thing, and I've made the point so many times because it needs to be said, that I sort of started stupidly. Is like I already had it sketched out in my head, but I put the label out there before really explaining it to anybody. And so I've had to like sort of vocalize how it works, rather than just pointing somebody to a resource. I'm writing currently a book about it, which should be done, you know, by the end, either by the end of the year or by the middle of next year. And this book will explain it like more adequately than I could do in a tweet or in a in a brief podcast appearance. But ultimately, like the whole point of it is that you have. Are you familiar with splinter factions?
Vaguely. I think you've talked about it before, actually.
Well, okay. For those who aren't familiar with splinter factions, it's basically there's a general head of the organization, and like there are sub organizations under that head, and sub organizations, and sub organizations, and it builds this spider web of people that are loosely connected, in terms of like organizational like hierarchy, but without any specific ties to the top. There's a lot of plausible deniability. There's a lot of easy fracturing where you can just splinter somebody off from it, which is where the splinter cell games and series comes from. And like the general notion is that because these things are creatable ad hoc and because they have plausible deniability, they're more effective than like a direct organizational hierarchy where everybody reports to everybody else and you can get away with more. Well, I like that theory, but the problem is it still has an organizational head, and so it can't be used for anarchy. So my idea was like to create the same kind of lattice, but with no heads. And generally the overall overarching thing would be instead of reporting to a person, you report to the key philosophy, which is anarchy. So everybody would self-organize for a purpose, right? Form their own coalition for that purpose. And then after that coalition had served its purpose, dissolve it. So that would mean that like your coalition is designed to kick the cops out of your neighborhood. The cops leave your neighborhood. You dissolve your coalition. If you want to, if you want to keep the coalition going, it's ultimately up to you, but you don't have to. Now, there are multiple classes of people in the anarchist circles who want to get the cops out of the neighborhood and who would have no problem doing so by militant ways. Like, so ultimately you could get, you know, ANCOMs, ANCABs, agorists, mutualists, syndicalists, individualists, egoists, all of these different groups of people would have some people who might be interested in getting rid of the cops. Now, the pacifists might not want to engage in this particular coalition because this particular coalition might get violent, you know? So ANPACs might want to sit it out. Green anarchists might not like the fact that not everybody in this thing is opposed to using the enemy's tanks against them. They might think that, oh, well, if you're just going to treat it like a normal war, I'm out. They don't have to, you know, shit like that. Like, you don't have to participate because it's inherently anarchist. And there's no rule that says because you're anarchist, you have to come with me and do this. Right. So the general idea would be that if you see a thing that you could do, you form a coalition with as many anarchists as possible of every persuasion, even if you don't agree with them on everything, And then if you want to dissolve that coalition afterwards, you can. But there's also this interesting sub theory, which is that, like, you might not want to, because you might find out you don't disagree as much as you thought you did. And if that becomes the case, then these coalitions will grow together and become an extremely strong lattice, because people will stop thinking, hey, this could never work because these people wouldn't let us do our thing. And they could start seeing these people letting, you know, X party do their thing, and say, hey, we actually can coexist. There actually is some solidarity possible here. We've seen it happen. It's working. The government hasn't divided us against each other. We're still accepting each other, and we're still trying to do things actively. Let's keep this coalition. And then, you know, anybody who wants out can get out, obviously. But anybody who wants to stay in can form a very, like, strong steel-gripped lattice of coalitions that are time-tested and proven to work. And all these coalitions, the more that are built, the more that are dissolved, the more strong ones are left over. So it generally strengthens the anarchist community at large, and at the very least gives us the numbers necessary to actually fight the state. Because we don't have shit right now alone. We don't have
no,
shit.
No, we don't.
So that's the general principle.
That sounds mind-blowing, but I also think you have a very uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because, just the idea of, for an anarcho-capitalist or an anarcho-communist to even interact, like, pleasantly or just neutrally with each other. I mean, that's a non-starter for a lot of people that I've found. And, you know, 5 years ago, that it was a non-starter for me.
Yeah, well, but that's sort of the thing. Like, both, well, all sides, because there's more than two, all sides mm-hmm. have this propensity to, like, get holier than thou about shit, to forget where they come from, to forget how statist they used to be, because most of them used to be statist. The vast majority of people did not start out life anarchist.
Absolutely.
You know, so they forget where they used to be. They forget that people can change. And while they're doing that and they're acting all high and fucking mighty about shit, they ultimately come to the conclusion that the only people who have to defend their side of shit are those guys. And, you know, I don't have to prove myself, but if you can't answer all my questions, then you're the problem, right? So because of that, because of this mentality that the only people who have to prove themselves are the other guys, it creates an environment of bad faith argumentation and an argument of hostility to the other side without actually knowing what the other side says. Additionally, it creates a one-way street whereby echo chambers are formed, and instead of, like, talking to people and reaching across the aisle, you know, the left can say that the right are all Nazis or fascists or something adjacent, and the right can say that that the left can't meme and they should all be thrown out of helicopters, and then the left can say, well, then to the gulag or against the wall, and then the right can say, you know, well, it doesn't matter what we say, they're just going to be violent shitheads, and then the left can say, well, hey, they're being violent shitheads, though. And it creates this cycle where everybody is actually doing the exact same fucking thing that the other side is doing, but acting like they're morally superior. So I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and it's something I've noticed, too. I differ from you in that I view it as a healthy breakdown, because it's not limited to just anarchists on the right and left. It's limited to all ideologies across the spectrum. And I think the more tribal we become, the less viable our current system is. And I look at that from the long view of, you know, maybe not this election, maybe not next election, but there will come a time where a critical mass of people are going to opt out of our current political system. And it, you know, the alternative may not be one that we as anarchists like, or I should say me as a Marxist-Leninist, I might not like it either. It might turn into anarchism. But I would view that tendency towards tribalism amongst the left and the right, and the hostility that's growing and growing, especially, you know, in the Trump era, I would view that as a very healthy thing. I'm sure I could find some theory from either the left or the right to say that it's natural, because, you know, a representative democratic republic for, you know, 350 million people across 8 million square miles probably isn't meant to last.
Well, and that's part of the problem, is that people act like anarchy would be the unstable system. And, you know, perhaps it would be. But statism is manifestly unstable. Yes. And ultimately, the current statist paradigm is built on instability. It's built on debt. It's built on
inflation. The warlords are already here.
Yeah, it's built on debt. It's built on inflation. It's built on violence. And war is the health of the state. So without some sort of fucking manufactured goddamn conflict, we have nothing, because the state runs everything. So the state has to constantly create bullshit, like, you know, the coronavirus lockdowns, the police brutality, then the riots, then the police response to the riots, the CIA inventing Middle Eastern terrorism, and then saying we need to go to the Middle East to fight terrorism. You know, the U.S. business is doing business with Hitler and then saying, oh, Hitler's very strong now, we got to go fight him, he's evil. The U.S. sending troops, sending civilians and a bunch of civilian bullshit on the Lusitania intentionally into dangerous German waters to get in that war. You know,
countless examples.
The Civil War being used as a way to force down tariffs that nobody wanted, and then eventually Lincoln's like, oh, all right, I'll make it about slavery too, so that we can say that the South is evil. Which, to be fair, the CSA did have statements very heavily laden with pro-slavery bullshit. But that just means neither side was good. It doesn't mean the North was angels just because they're fighting the South. So there's just a bunch of like layers and layers of bullshit.
Of creation myths.
Yeah, well, bullshit, ordo ab chao, you know, government incisions for war. Like, their incitements are huge, and they're always profitable. And like... It's always funny to tell people that the American Revolution was financed by foreign gold. This is such a private nation. We're definitely pro freedom. Oh, by the way, only a handful of people who were in the founders didn't support slavery. You know, Thomas Paine.
And only a handful weren't absolute Puritans.
Yeah, well, and so Thomas Paine had to start the abolitionist society, the first one in America. He had to start that because it wasn't there yet. People hadn't thought, hey, maybe we shouldn't be brutalizing and forcing humans to work for us, because this country was founded on forcing people to work. And so the whole like anti-tax thing is just, you know, a snowing of the situation. So, and that's the thing I constantly bring up when people are like, oh, well, we just need to return to the Constitution, then everything will be fine. I'm like, which Constitution? The one before the Bill of Rights? The one supported by the slaveholders? The one that allowed, like, all this corruption to start? The one that supported the Whiskey Rebellion? The one that didn't allow women a seat at the table? Didn't allow poor people who didn't own land a seat at the table? Which one? Like... And they don't like to answer that question.
I kind of like the women one.
I don't.
I'm like, just kidding.
The whole idea of a representative democracy not representing the whole like demographic is rotely absurd to me. Like, so we don't have the numbers. We need the numbers, and the whole thing like of engineered conflict is designed not only to profit and not only to expand their empire, which it has consistently done, allowing the U.S. to be the head of the major global hegemony, but also keep the low classes too weak from fighting each other to point their barrels upward and fight the people who are actually a threat to them. So, like, that's my bias. My bias is we need numbers, we need resources, and we're wasting them all on fighting with each other.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at my pinned tweet, I say, I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on, just hurry the fuck up and radicalize. Because I would go further and say, you know, I'm sure you agree, the fringes drive culture. The societal fringes drive culture. We need to be driven because, I mean, the status quo right now is untenable. Right. No matter which way you look at it, politically, geographically, culturally, it's untenable. It's bound to result in a catastrophic meltdown. And I don't know how close we are to that. I personally think we're probably closer than most of my peers would think, but, you know, and that's my approach, is to attack the normies, to berate them, and to show them that in this ideal representative democracy that you think that we have, there are people like me and you and everybody else that exist that aren't going to play along. So if you want to keep with your numbers game, just know that that is not tenable.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's, you listed a lot of ways that it's not tenable, right? But you missed one key factor, which is environmentally. And ultimately, the planet has been long fucked over by a state which, like, due to its nature and due to the necessity for, you know, conflict and destruction in its previous expansion methods, has always and forever looted the planet, and done so blithely unaware of its own destruction, because essentially they can print all the money they want, they can make all the excuses that they want to keep shit going, and like in the end run, they can be wildly out of their own resources, because they never needed those resources to begin with. Like, we're operating on thin air right now. And the only reason people are still allowing it to go on is because they haven't personally been negatively affected enough to resist. So they keep the status quo just comfortable enough that people will not resist, and just uncomfortable enough that they still feel like they need to work in order to get what they, in order to participate in the economy and the government, etc. And so people are exhausted. They have no energy. They've been fighting each other in pre-manufactured conflicts, or they've been like otherwise draining their own personal resources, because we live in a highly consumer society and people are drugged on high carb diets, which like treat them like cattle. So they're like shuffling through life, doing their, you know, hamster wheel jobs that all like practically serve the empire. And ultimately, they spend a lot of time not caring that much about what goes on, because they don't have the energy to care. And that's exactly how the state likes it. Like, even Democrat and Republican are pretty much center right. The Democrat is a little bit like further to the left. But Democrat and Republican are pretty much center-right, but they can still act as though they're wildly different, even though they either serve a neoconservative or neoliberal agenda, and they're both in the upper right-hand quadrant. And it doesn't fucking matter that there are many alternatives. It doesn't matter that, you know, that the bottom two quadrants exist at all. It doesn't matter that the left-hand quadrant has only been used in certain other worlds, and like ultimately highly influenced by the upper right. It doesn't matter any of that, because the status quo that currently exists is the one that the power wants to remain. And so they keep it this way. And we all fall in line with the status quo, you know, absorb our cultivated identities and participate in our online forums as though we have a voice, and our voices are all in the same cheering chorus of the same economic paradigm that allowed the rise of the Bilderberg Group and the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. And the cultural events that happen, the mass killings, all these things, it doesn't matter. These people love the idea of human sacrifice. They go to Bohemian Grove and totally fakely sacrifice babies. I don't believe that for a second. I think the babies are probably real. But either way, do we really want people ruling over us that get together, dress in robes, and like dance around in front of a fire in front of a giant owl statue and sacrifice absolutely fake babies? I think not. But these people love human sacrifice. The Detroit the Denver International Airport with the pale horse on the runway, the glowing red eyes, the Masonic imagery everywhere, the bunkers underground with the mass death murals inside, the laughing gargoyle to mock people who have a problem with it. You know, they know exactly what the fuck they're doing. The Georgia Guidestones wanting people to be in 500 million numbers to be a perpetual harmony with the earth. This is, the elites love human sacrifice. And if they get a little blood on the robe, that's just more color. It doesn't matter to them. So, like, ultimately, we're all just using up our energy fighting each other when we should be taking these murderous pedophiles out. And, you know, nobody really gives a shit. Like, they give a shit temporarily in order to get cuties off of Netflix. And then once cuties off of Netflix, they're going to go right back to the couch and act like they've solved the problem.
And this is a perfect segue into something else I wanted to pick your brain about. You've been kind of spearheading one of the better anti-pedophile movements that I've seen just in the last few years. Do you want to comment on that and just, you know, give us some background? What got you into it? What progress has been made? What you think the influence of actual pedophiles, whether they be elite or lower tier, what you think the influence of that is, you know, whether it be on social media or in real life or in politics or whatever.
Okay. Well, just before I get too deep into this, something the audience should know is if my voice gets a little raspy, it's because California's bullshit gender reveal party fires have now reached the smoke has now reached Washington. So I've been choking on smoke for the past 3 days. So if my voice sounds a little raspy or I sound a little forced, that's why. But essentially, okay. A year and a half ago, actually, now, I found out that somebody very well known in the like Twitter anarchist community, at least the right anarchists, the left anarchists had pretty much not heard of him. Riley Summer had been, and like I didn't even know that name at the time. I just knew him as Bunny Riley or Bunny's Ideas. Had been under a different username on people's stream and like on Gab, on Discord, on various different places, trying to advocate that pedophilia should be accepted as a children's rights issue, and that, you know, the
Jesus Christ,
the anarchist philosophy was, you know, 100% in support of it because children's autonomy and the like pedophilia should be accepted because otherwise it's a thought crime. And, you know, just generally pushing all this bullshit. And a lot of people in the anarchist community were following this person on that account. Because they had no idea that this person was on alternate accounts saying these things. But the thing is, a few years ago, maybe three or four, I ran a site called timetofree.us, and it didn't do very well because it didn't get support. you know. So if y'all don't want to see Agoras Nexus go the way timetofree.us went, feel free to donate. But I'll stop badgering on that for now. the site, I wanted people to be able to write whatever they wanted as long as it was anti-statist and as long as it generally went toward the goal of removing the government, you know? And so my particular bias in this regard was, as long as you had a project that you wanted to push that would reduce the size and influence of government, then that would be acceptable material and you could write for the site. So we got a reasonable amount of writers, and one of those writers who, you know, to be completely 100% fucking honest, was a shit writer. He constantly submitted material that had spelling, grammatical, and structural errors, that was way too short because, you know, he like has the attention span of a gnat. And essentially, he had all this stuff out there, and it was like copied and pasted from his website. He didn't do anything original, right?
Jesus.
So like, I didn't want to like submit his stuff anyway. So like a lot of stuff was just in the editing queue at the time when funding basically died out anyway. So I never actually published, to my knowledge, one of his pieces, but what I did find out was, like, because I look into who writes for places that I start, you know? So when I looked into him, I found out he had a YouTube channel. And so I think it might have had no videos at the time. I'm not sure. I don't remember right now. Maybe the smoke is fucking with my memory. But I found out he had this. And then later on, I saw videos on the channel. And so I listened to them, and they were okay. I mean, they were certainly better than his articles, and they were more thorough too. But they always had this edge of like, I don't know what I'm talking about to them, if that makes sense. And like, I remember his voice absolutely fucking distinctly. And so later on, I started my server to out pedophiles, because I had been going against pedophiles for a short bit anyway. And
I remember that.
And my server had rules. You had to oppose pedophiles, and pedophiles were defined for the purposes of that server, which caused a bunch of people to cry because, you know, they broke the rules to get in, and the consequence was that your name would be blasted on our social media. So, like, there's this one user who specifically does not like to be brought up in this regard, so I'll definitely bring him up in this regard right now. Scorch, who didn't follow the rules, which were that anybody who supports the idea of people 18 plus in relationships with people 18 and under, under 18, was not allowed. It's not that necessarily all of those relationships are pedophilic. It's just that we want to be absolutely fucking sure that we've got our bases covered.
So, better to be too strict than too lenient.
Right.
I get where you're coming from.
Right. Especially when this server is going to be exchanging like missing children information. We don't need the server to be like a hub for pedophiles who just want to act like aunties so that they can get some kids
intel
picks.
Or whatever.
Well, right. Or so that they can just know the accounts that are posting child porn that we reported to get them on the internet. And then save all the child porn so that they can repost them on their own new account.
So you've experienced what all movements have experienced, and that's opportunists.
Entryists. Yes.
Opportunists. Yeah. Entryists and opportunists coming into a movement and kind of bastardizing their principles for their own gain.
Right. So,
I mean, in my studies of, you know, Marxist Leninism and, you know, the history of the Russian Revolution and, you know, Pol Pot and China and all them, you see that time and time again, just entryists and opportunists.
Right.
And you actually have more real life experience.
Right. Well, and so not that person specifically, but they didn't like the fact that we did our normal thing with them and just said who they were and the fact that they were trying to question the rules after accepting them. You know, we kicked them out. We blasted their name, blah, blah. But we did that with a lot of people. And one of the people we did that with is Bunny Riley. And Bunny Riley had started to leak our information to directly to pedophilic Discord servers, where this either it was their own server or Giovanni Leftus Morgan specifically server, who Gio was and is a well-known pedophile and groomer who has admitted publicly to grooming their ex in like high school, right?
That sounds like inviting sheep to the slaughter, though. Like you're getting your pedophile friends to go attack like non-pedophiles and expecting what exactly?
Well, and that's the thing. Like it was very poor strategy. And yeah. it still was like a thing that he did pretty regularly. So when that was found out, because we had more.
Imagine getting ratioed by pedophiles.
Yeah, well, Jesus. that doesn't happen, really. Like pedophiles.
No.
Pedophiles are such a strict minority. But like when he tried that, right, we had moles places, too. And so they served us screenshots of proof of him doing it. And ultimately, what this led to was me finding out that he was indeed this person because I recognized the voice and because this person was also identified in, you know, in other servers. It gave me pause and it made me want to look into what they did. So I looked into their other profiles, found their Gab page where they were supporting and retweeting a bunch of pedophiles and being supported and croaking, whatever they call it. A bunch of pedophiles and being recroaked and supported by a bunch of pedophiles there, right? And one of the things was a debate that this person was allegedly in. So I clicked and like this person was not that hard to find by this other alias. And so when I found that and I found this other alias, which was Nomap Bunny, who had already tried to get into our server, which was funny because we actively bar pedophiles, you know, and they came in with that name too.
Jesus Christ.
So we immediately banned them. And then I saw this same icon, the same username in this debate on a channel called Kaz Warfox. So I listened to the voices. I did a really good analysis between the voices, and like spent about 3 hours making absolutely fucking sure I was correct before starting to come out and ask them about this. And then I came out and asked them about it. And I said, is this, are you the same person? You know, and we'd already kicked them out for serving information, right? But
yeah.
I said, you know, are you the same person? And then they just kept on waffling around the issue, not saying yes or no, waffling around the issue in public and trying to make it seem as though I was being unreasonable, running a witch hunt, that sort of thing. And eventually, I got them to admit that, yes, they were indeed the same person. Now, this person had said, and I quote, I'd rather the child fuck me, in response to a question asking them if they want to fuck children, right?
Jesus.
So to be very
specific. All right, that's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. So to be specific, I was 100% right about this person, and they still had libertarian followers. I kept on telling people. I kept on tagging people in the thread and telling them you're following a pedophile. You might want to know that. Almost nobody responded. So I realized that there's a strong problem with this, that people don't stop supporting people, even knowing who they are, or there's not enough people willing to put these kinds of people on blast in order to get them out of libertarian circles in order to stop corrupting our public image and message. And so this, by this time, our server was starting to really gain steam. And we had already pretty much blown this person's character up. But we had also then started to see that this person was starting their own servers, whether or not they'd been already there and they just didn't talk about them or not. They had their own server. Bunny Riley had free speech hellhole, I think he called it.
Oh, jeez.
And so I had moles in there because by that time, our Discord server had been banned and Discord lied about the reasons. Banning myself and entirely from the entire platform. I'm permanently banned for inciting violence, targeted harassment, that sort of thing. But Bunny was still allowed there. And also multiple of my admins were banned. But some of the
That seems to be the pattern is, you know, they will go after people for threatening pedophiles. They'll go after people for, you know, blatantly posting pedophilia, no problem. But there's a fundamental difference between, you know, threat, in my opinion, threatening a pedophile should probably get you a 12-hour ban if it's a bad threat. Being a pedophile, even identifying as a pedophile, you are there as either an op, you're either a Fed, a 4chan, you know, op, or an actual pedophile. And I don't know, like, I don't see the benefit of these, you know, giant companies like, you know, Twitter or Gab. I'm sure Gab would have no problem with it.
Well, and that's a funny thing too, because Gab claims to be all Bible-y and highly conservative, and then they have active pedophile rings on their site. Literal, like, there's a pedophile named Ed Chambers who has been banned from Twitter countless times, and he has a profile on Gab. He's so well known as a pedophile that he has an IMDb page because he's been in documentaries about pedophilia.
Jesus.
And he has a Gab profile where he's promoting pedophilia in addition to many other people over there. So Gab
and Andrew Torba just doesn't give a shit.
No. And in fact, he blocked our official account for anti-pedo action at the mere mention that he has this problem on his site. He didn't address it. He just blocked whoever runs the social media, probably Andrew Torba
makes
himself.
You think.
And so, you know, they're bullshit. They're liars. They're fucking frauds. Because they try to pull this Christian image in order to ban porn and in order to keep leftists off the platform, because that's basically what banning their porn is for, to keep people of a liberal persuasion off your site.
Yep.
So he does that, and then he's all Bible and conservative and blah, blah, until he deleted his Twitter and all the evidence of, you know, the hyper-conservative, stupid Christian trash went away. Because let me be clear, there are good Christians out there. He is not one of them. And then after all of that, he has fucking pedophiles on his site. But like, you know, Ed Chambers.
Ironic.
Yeah. But, you know, Ed Chambers was a mutual follower of Bunny Riley on that site. And Bunny's server was still up after we were officially banned, after my server was destroyed, after the almost 100 people there. Like I think a third of them got warnings about their accounts. And myself and multiple admins were just directly banned. But we still had people. We still had people who had Discords who were interested in helping us with some reconnaissance. So basically, we had our spies find out a bunch of information about Bunny's server. Not the least of which is that there were minors in there, along with a bunch of pedophiles. And like these minors were just having friendly little conversations with these pedophiles who were talking about their age of attraction and how it's totally okay and acceptable. And you know, we talked about that and we blew holes in that. And, in doing so, we revealed the members list for the server. And the members list included a lot of people in the, quote, libertarian community. And so basically that caught me a lot of flack because, oh, you're running a witch hunt. You're doing guilt by association.
Yeah.
When
you're hurting the libertarian movement.
Right. Yeah. Instead of the, you know, quote, libertarians and the pedophile server, I'm the problem.
Yeah.
So because of that, like effectively that server shut down relatively quickly after a lot of things were proven, not the least of which is that, somebody that admins had known to be a minor was given the not safe for work role. But
Jesus,
that blew up relatively quickly. But I still have, it's my most downvoted video on my YouTube, which is youtube.com/Jeremiah Talks. You can see my Riley video, R-Y-L-E-E video. And you can just look that up, or, you know, I don't know, maybe it'll be a link in the description. I don't fucking control that. But essentially, I did this video. It's still my most downvoted video, despite being 100% factually accurate and having all the proof necessary to say that there's a severe fucking problem here. It's still my most downvoted video because all these people they took to their Discords. They said, we need to, you know, downvote this guy's video. And nobody could disprove it. Nobody, not a single fucking soul. But they didn't like the fact that I yet again posted the members list. And I said that, you know, this is why people are mad at me, because people have been trying to tar my name and reputation for many, many, many weeks prior to that. And one of them, called Chaser, had decided that he was going to try, along with another account called Volnust, to get me, quote, removed from the internet. They want me off the internet. There's an active, probably and still, like, going on right now, censorship campaign against me.
This seems so counterintuitive to what you did, though. You doxed pedophiles.
I didn't even dox anyone.
You should be getting a fucking medal. Not doxed, but you exposed a pedophilia server. Like, you should be, like, you know, getting the key to the city.
Well, I don't know. It's not that hard to do this stuff. Ultimately, just most people don't want to do it. They don't want to get their hands dirty.
Yeah, I personally am, like, really squeamish about that stuff. Like, Pete Quinones linked me a video on BitChute, and, like, it was a documentary where the guy went in trying to disprove, like, QAnon and Pizzagate and all that, and ended up finding, like, you know, this whole rabbit hole of, you know, pedophilia and child abuse and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I watched the first part and I couldn't get through the second part. I mean, I would probably not be on the front line of that, only because I know that I can't handle, like, seeing, you know, the nitty gritty of it.
Well, hey, you
but
know,
I
don't need any keys to any city, but if anyone wants to support me on Patreon, I get like 35 a month for this shit.
Yes.
But, like, generally speaking, yeah, it's not easy work. Most people don't want to get their hands dirty, but they should fucking, like, at least take the information when it's there. And most people just actively ignored it. And the ones who didn't actively ignore it, kept, like, the associations going. Some of them defended the people involved. And it kept on going and going and going because effectively, this guy had an alternative account on Twitter, so when he deleted that alternative account,
plausible deniability.
When he deleted that primary account, a lot of the initial proof was gone. I still had the archived tweet of him admitting that it was him in the stream, though, so he's fucked forever on that score. But ultimately he's admitted to that many times since, not the least of which are in the Metalhead Doomer. He's a YouTuber who wants to, like, really get some traction on his account, so he had sort of an informal stream with myself, Cass Warfox, who ran the stream, the original stream, to try and dunk on this pedo. He ran this stream. It was on Cass Warfox's channel with another person named the Ranting Doom Guy, because apparently he rants and his logo is it the Doom guy. But they and a bunch of other people just absolutely dunked on Riley for like hours. And additionally, Amos Yee popped in for a little bit there, and he's a well-known pedophile apologist who's been covered on so many channels because he thinks it's totally Jesus. Acceptable for adults to fuck babies. The ultimate truth here is that these are some truly slimy, nasty people. I found Riley, but he still had an alternative account, and he was still trying to get into liberty movements. He just wasn't talking about pedo shit on that one. So I had to then prove that that was the same person. And then once I proved that that was the same person, because I had already seen that they were the same person, I had documented that those two accounts existed before he deleted the first one, or it was suspended. I don't remember. It was one of the two. But effectively, this account still existed. It was positively interacting with many prominent libertarians. So I still had to do work to get this account effectively silenced so that people would stop associating libertarians with pedophiles. You know, but that's like a drop in the bucket because there are so many examples of, quote, libertarians and, quote, anarchists trying to justify this shit. And, you know, ultimately, there's like the Sean Windingland situation, who on Facebook thought he was in a private community about this stuff and tried to get his little girls who he had previously had sexual contact with to like say that, yeah, you know what? We accepted that. We thought that was great. We just wanted to make daddy happy or something like that. And
Jesus so Christ.
He posted these videos and he thought they were in a private group, but people shared them, right? And so he's in jail now. But there are so many other examples of people doing shit like this. Like, you know, there are full on essays that are that are about pedophilia and like how, oh, it's, you know, there is no age of consent, like Ujiri or Jake McCauley. And Ujiri is a real good recent example because he's another person I put on blast and tagged a bunch of people, but he still has a bunch of libertarian followers and he'll keep on getting them because people don't do adequate reputation management in this shit. And because like people like me are well hated for constantly pointing out this flaw.
Yeah.
And of course, because I need to constantly take odd jobs because this doesn't pay rent, you know? So
yeah,
like,
I mean, shit.
I don't even have time to do as much work as I want to do. But, you know, once I get that time, I plan to do so much fucking work that, you know.
Point. Let me ask you about this idea. You know, we talked about agorism being the bridge to, you know, the left and the right on the anarchist side. What would you think about a parallel sex offender registry?
Well, I mean, that would almost guaranteeably exist. I mean, it already basically does with the internet. You can post somebody's face alongside what they
IMDb.
said. IMDb. So, like ultimately, I can, if I wanted to, I could make a blockchain registry of a bunch of different people with their social media attached.
That's
to it.
That's exactly what I had in mind.
And people could, like, you know, mine that cryptocurrency to keep the registry alive and active and current and shit like that. But like, you know, or we could just have the same old standard thing that used to exist, which is newsletters, you know, mm-hmm. But most people don't want that shit. Most people would not subscribe to a newsletter like that. So I haven't started.
It would make people uncomfortable.
Right. And it would say, like and would make their circles seem less safe.
It would slaughter sacred cows.
Yeah.
Which, apparently you're well hated for doing in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, well, because like I'm hated by the quote left for saying that maybe property norms are a good thing. I'm hated by the quote right for saying that maybe state capitalism has historically been the norm and the free market has never existed. I'm hated by like pedophiles and their supporters because I don't mind going against them. I'm hated by some of the occult community because I have no problem talking about the fact that the elites run rituals. I've been in this for over a decade now, and a lot of the stuff that I've been doing has been directly an affront to somebody's, like, as you want to put it, sacred cows. And, like, ultimately, I'm not well liked because when I show up to a thread, I start taking screenshots. I start archiving shit. I take down somebody's Twitter ID so that if they change their account name, they can't hide. I do all this shit for the express purpose of constantly holding people accountable. And, you know, I'm not fucking perfect, but at least I'm trying to do something here. And most people would rather just say, I'm not perfect, so I shouldn't do anything. Fuck that. Use what you have and fight the evil, or you're complicit. That's my take.
Yep. I completely agree. And I've always loved what you're doing, loved your approach to things, just not caring about making people angry. And that's, I try to emulate that, and it doesn't work out because they're like, oh, it's Aaron, he's a nice guy. And I am, but I don't know. I gotta do a better job of pissing people off. I gotta get like you.
Well, hey, if you want to do what I do, just find out what pisses people off and then find a way to lead them into that. Cause that's the ultimate thing. Like a lot of people have their defenses up. So you've got to lead them toward the quote right conclusion. And like, that's why I always call it playing black. I play black when I play chess. I don't like to play white. I don't like to have the first move. I like to let the other person dig their own grave. And that's the same way I am in public. You know, if I see something wrong, I can do something about it. If I don't see it coming, I can't do shit. So ultimately, I mean, I could, like, but it's harder to say that something is going to happen than it is to say that that it already has happened. And here, look, it's bad. Because I've been calling political events for a while. I called the election of Donald Trump. I called this catastrophe that's happening right now. I said that there was going to be like something worse than many 9/11s that was going to be used as an excuse for more control and rallying around the flag right around the time of the election. And I said that for years. Nobody believed me. I said that Trump would bomb, would start bombing Iran, and nobody believed me. I said that the sarin gas attacks were fake and nobody believed me. And I said all these things that, like, later on people would eventually believe me about. Like, the most recent example that I wrote for agorastnexus.com, feel free to visit, is the my prediction of the U.S. adopting China's smart glasses artificial intelligence technology to monitor people for COVID, that COVID would be an excuse to implement smart glasses technology and use either Clearview or something very similar to run the same sort of mass identification and tracking system that is being used in China right now for social control. And
that is not outside the realm of possibility whatsoever. I mean, compared to you, I'm just some normie, but, you know, even I think, like, there's got to be some end game to this.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. People didn't believe me. People called me crazy. People said, that's China. It's not going to happen here. We won't let it happen. It's literally happening now. It started a month ago. Flint, Michigan is now accepting what many people, including James Corbett of the Corbett Report, which, by the way, people should subscribe to him too, he's calling the RoboCop helmet, which is a smart glasses interface with a thermal camera, which also so happens to send license plate, facial recognition data, and a bunch of other.
Oh, of course. Why not? Yeah.
And so these helmets are now actively being used in Flint, Michigan right now.
Jesus.
And people didn't fucking believe me, but I'm demonstrably right now. And even now that I'm demonstrably right, the people who called me crazy, they haven't come crawling back. They don't give a shit. So
that's how it goes, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like this with so many issues. And if I say, you know, that there's a massive pedophile problem in this quote community, and it's going to be used by the outside to tear us down because we're just a bunch of pedophile enablers, people don't believe me. But they should, because yep. It's already fucking happening, and I've been saying it would for years, but it's actively happening now.
And one of the things that I've always said is it's actually a healthy sign for the culture that the attitude towards pedophilia is to shoot first and ask questions later.
Right.
I think in general that speaks to, you know, our caveman instinct to protect children, which we still have, and that's good. On the other hand, it can be weaponized, and it will be weaponized against people like libertarians, like anarchists, especially, and I my conspiracy brain connects it to the Vault 7 leaks, where they can use tools to upload files to your computer, upload an internet mm-hmm. history,
yeah.
and cover their tracks completely.
Right.
That's where my brain goes. So it's a double-edged sword. I would love to throw people in a wood chipper that harm kids, but on the other hand, I don't want to be that person being thrown into the wood chipper because some CIA guy fucking uploaded a bunch of CP to my computer.
Well, right, but that's sort of part of the reason I'm so careful in vetting these things, because first off, a lot of people still have anonymous accounts, so it's not like saying something mm-hmm. About them is going to get their personal name out there. It just means that their account that they're currently using to maybe groom yeah. children or to solicit,
infiltrate a movement,
yeah, or to solicit pictures or videos or something like that. That account can go away, and it makes it marginally more difficult, and it also exposes the network that they're associated with, who followed them on Twitter, who liked their child porn videos and pictures, who did things like that. It's a lot harder to fake that information than it is to, fake somebody's entire identity, or even to use the Vault 7 technology, because that still requires breaching firewalls. That still requires getting around the defenses that the computer has set up, whether it be antivirus, whether it be a VPN, whether it be, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So mm-hmm. ultimately, I try to make sure that my target is well and truly who they say they are. But
yeah, when a mountain of evidence is there, then you can be reasonably assured you're dealing with the person.
Right. Like with the Riley situation, like one of the things I did is I just directly told people, this is what I have. I have this account with the same information, and with the same voice, with the same ideas, saying the same things.
Yep.
And here's the voice to match it. And eventually he just admitted to it. Oh, and by the way, himself and a bunch of his acolytes tried to later then tell me how evil I was because I burnt down their house, when I didn't do that.
Jesus.
When it just, like, allegedly somebody...
No, but you wish you did.
I take the fifth. But so their house burnt down, and immediately in their Discord, there were people blaming me. And so that happened. Then, you know, Mr. Dapperton did a video where he's, and it's now gone, but, you know, I downloaded it. I still have a copy of that shit where he said, hey,
of course you did.
Where he said, go help this person. You know, this is a chance to do something good. And so now this person has $2,000 of extra money in a GoFundMe because Jesus. Of that boost. And instead of that money going to somebody who wasn't a pedophile, it went to that person. So, you know, there's so much wrong. And I'm the bad guy.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you are, in fact, not the bad guy. That what you're doing on multiple fronts is progressing the movement and, you know, giving it a much needed purity check and sanity check. And I appreciate everything you've done and continue to do, and I can't wait for that book to come out too.
Yeah, I have that book. I have multiple other books, a graphic novel. I got shit that I've got in the works. Like, Most of what I've been though is notes for a survival horror video game, which will be the least enjoyable experience in gaming history.
Yes. All right. Do you have any? I mean, you've plugged everything, but do you have any other plugs?
Well, you can just generally find me places. You can go to Cointree, which is Naomi Brockwell's project. If you haven't had her on, by the way, you should. But Naomi Brockwell's project, and it's like Linktree, only it includes crypto donation addresses and QR codes with messaging capability. So it's very good. I recommend the fags all get one. But essentially,
I'll put that out to my people.
Yeah, and I've been you know sort of trying to get as many people on that as possible. But you can find me at cointr.ee/insanityisfree. I also recently started a fitness Instagram called Insanity is Fit, where I'm going to teach people how to use suspension trainers, body weight, and that sort of thing, high intensity interval training, in order to burn as many calories as I do. Because for anybody who knows how much I eat, I do not eat a small amount. I'm doing all of that, trying to, you know, get to a place where I can actually pay rent with that so I can avoid doing odd jobs. But, you know, for the time being, I'm pretty consistent on platforms, and I have a video I'm going to be releasing soon, probably Wednesday evening, which is part of the collaboration with the final episode of the Dank Pod Stash, which was Nick Irwin's joint, where he asked all of his previous guests for the last 100 episodes to send 5 minutes of what they would tell the world. So I already put my 5 minutes in, but this is going to be like a remix of that with like my own music and a bunch of additional shit. And so you can find that on youtube.com/JeremiahTalks, and you can like, you know, throw that violently at your non-conspiracy friends if you just want to like sledgehammer of information that they can choke on.
I like it. I want my audience to choke on something.
Oh, and hey, remember, everyone, collect the Chaos Emeralds, because if you're not, then you might as well be Eggman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, guys. Go fuck yourself.